Hey.
Because we can just sort of do the count, chop it out, and start back from earlier.
Well, I don't even know what we're going to do.
Mate. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Tom.
Did you press record?
Yes.
Okay.
We just had epic 1 minute of banter, and it will never be heard.
The sad thing is, that was an amazing 1 minute of banter. That was Oscar worthy.
Oscar, you say?
Mate, is there a podcast Oscar thing?
I was just going to ask you that. I think if you belong to one of those like Spotify or iHeartRadio, I think they do awards.
We would get one if we were a part of it.
I think so. Should we do the Snappening Podcast Awards?
We'll just give ourselves an award.
We were at the dinner table the other night and Dallas, excuse me, she was being a real pain. She's 2.5, and some days she's like, no, I'd say most days she's a dream. She's an angel. And then every now and then she's just useless,
absolute
annoying
tool.
And she was at the dinner table really complaining, putting on a show, not wanting to eat. Anyway, she got this shampoo from Santa. And it's
she got shampoo from Santa.
I know.
Well, what a
actually, I say from Santa. It was from like the extended family Santa, okay. You know. So it wasn't like our in-house Santa. If sure. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was the contract.
But wait, you haven't heard what kind of chechu. You haven't heard what kind of shampoo it was. Chupa Chups.
Oh, that sounds really nice.
So it smells like Chupa Chups. So anyway, she's putting on this huge performance at the dinner table. Kat and I are just totally over it, trying to have a nice meal, and it's screaming the whole thing. And then she like points and goes, "What's that?" And she points to this Chupa Chups shampoo. And I'm like, "Oh, Dallas, it's your award. It's your award for best performance of the night. Here you go. You won. You're the best performer."
Our neighbors made last week a Redskin cheesecake.
I know what Redskins are.
Remember those things?
Oh my God.
So they melted down all the Redskins. Oh, I don't know how many. Yeah, yeah. And they, I don't know how
all
to make
of, all of them.
Yeah, every single one. I don't know how you make a cheesecake, but they melted them down and made them with the cheesy cakey bit. And then went on the biscuit base. And yeah, it was insane.
Did you try it?
Oh, mate, I ate like a quarter of it.
Wow.
Literally.
Sounds incredible. In New Zealand, maybe people don't know about Redskins. I think we used to have them when I was a kid, but yeah, you can still get them in Aussie.
It's kind of racist, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, I suppose. Are they like Native American?
I guess I'm not really down with the North American, what's politically correct terms, but is it a tribe? Is that the deal with the Redskin? Is it the name of one of the tribes?
Well, the Redskins was a team, right? Like a
baseball, yeah, yeah.
Football or...
But I never know with those words if that word is a respectful name of a tribe or if that's a derogatory word that they would call all the native
You're asking First Nations. A guy whose number one sports team is the All Blacks.
That's so funny. The most racist team ever.
And in New Zealand, like, we don't... There's just no connotation of racism at all.
Yeah, there isn't, is there? In fact, it'd be the opposite. It'd be like a proud, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get out of that. Minefield.
Okay, Greg, listen, now we have some admin.
Oh yes, please, Tom, yes.
Do you want me to say it?
Do it.
Our competition, which admittedly we've been running for quite a while now, is to win the amazing Fuji X100V. So you have until
amazing.
It's so good. You have until the 7th of January to enter. So technically, this is our 100th episode. Actually, technically, this is our 101st, isn't it, Greg? According to...
Yeah, that's so funny. Yeah, because we did a pilot episode, which we didn't count as number one. It was like number zero.
Which, by the way, was so shit if you go back and listen to it.
I think there were moments of greatness, but yeah.
We even introduced ourselves.
What did we... Were we like, oh, hi there.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Can I write... And I was like, oh, I'm Thomas. I'm Thomas Stewart. I'm William Thomas.
I remember that.
It was
now.
And we were so excited.
It's like you should have said, "Excuse me, sir. Can I? Do you mind if I just talk about myself?"
Yeah. It was like really kind of, much more. Sort
that's
of
good though. Back. You get the jitters out, and from there we were like, "That's pretty fun. It's not bad."
Oh, remember we came in from the garage where we recorded it, and we were just like, "That was so good,
fizzing.
We're hot shit."
I'm pretty sure I would have had like 5 beers.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Actually, I think we were hammered by halfway through.
And then we just turned pro after that. We were just straight-laced.
And then we make sure we press record when we start recording our episode.
Hey, so anyway, what'd you say?
January 7th. So basically, I haven't really thought about time zones, but yeah, just throw us your entry by around January the 7th. And then we'll record on about the maybe 8th or something. Or no, not the 8th. Maybe the 10th or something.
Soon after.
And then we will gift out this camera.
Yeah, so this episode's 99.5.
Exactly. Yep.
It was a little freebie. A little Christmas freebie.
That's the admin I had.
Good job.
Now, Greg.
Oh, so we will announce the winner on the next episode,
yes,
right?
We will. That's right.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I might just do a cheeky entry just to...
Reading out the entry. And the winner is Kat...
Kat De Silva.
Kat De Silva, Greg's wife.
Oh, my God.
Or the winner is... What's your cat's name? Cisco.
Cisco Campbell.
Cisco Campbell. Dallas Campbell winning a camera.
Should I quickly make him a photography Facebook page?
With the hipster name and logo generator. Yeah. We call that claws and vinegar. Claws
nice.
And...
Yeah. Oh, I see what you did there.
See what I did?
I see what you did there.
Fur and basil.
Fur and basil? Mm-hmm. Fur... Nah, because you got to do like... It would be fur and steel.
Oh, we got to do the contrasting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's nice.
I was thinking about a band the other day called Iron Butterfly.
Ooh, wait.
They do a song called In the Garden of Eden.
The one Simpsons that... Yeah, I was about to say. In the Garden of Eden.
Yeah. And I thought, what a stereotypical contrasting name, Iron Butterfly.
I like it.
I'm pretty sure when Led Zeppelin came out, everyone went, oh, wow, that's an amazing name. We're just going to do that.
You're just, oh yeah, right.
Like, something heavy, but it's something light.
Oh, yeah. They started the trend.
You with me?
Yeah, I'm with you. I got you.
There are two or three more, but I can't even think of them right now.
Did you like the band name Iron and Wine?
Iron Wine.
Iron and Wine.
Iron and Wine.
It's a bit of a hard one to say, really, because you got to get your mouth around the R and then move to a W. But we don't really pronounce the R, do we?
I thought of another one, Judas Priest.
Oh, yeah. That rolls off the tongue really nicely.
Judas Priest does roll off the tongue beautifully. I've got snapdowns up the Ganges.
Up the Ganges. I don't have... Okay, good, because I don't have any, but I do have a scenario to put to you. But
oh, I love it when you do that.
Our main topic today is going to be our mega scenario. That I'm going to put to you. But do you want to do...
Well, do you want me just to do a couple of little cheeky snaps?
Can you just drop some golden nuggets?
Nuggies.
And then I'll put a little scenario to you.
I got a really simple question. It's like a mini scenario to ask you. Because I tried this at a wedding the other day and it just threw me.
I always fall into these traps. You ask me these questions and I totally derail the whole thing by answering wrong. Okay.
All right.
I'm ready.
Let's see if you answer correctly. Listen, which eye do you use when you look through your camera?
My left.
I always forget which one I use. Oh, yeah. Have you ever tried using the other eye?
I have, and I hate it. It's so bad.
Is it weird?
It's so weird.
I think, so I use my left as well. And just for whatever reason the other day, I felt myself, because what I've been trying to do recently, so I use my left eye. And instinctively, I give my right eye a tiny squint. But in actual fact, I don't need to. My right eye stays completely open when I'm looking through the viewfinder.
Yeah.
Just picking up my camera now to play with it. So I thought, and I was just playing around. I thought, I wonder if I could look through my right eye. I wonder what would happen. And when I looked through my right eye, I found that my left eye was still trying to dominate.
Okay.
And so I wasn't able to really see the viewfinder because my left eye was... taking over of like what it was seeing, which was because it's to the left of the camera, so it was seeing real stuff coming in, like and I was just like, whoa, and it took me a couple of minutes to train my brain to look through the right eye,
and
dude, it was strange.
Yeah, no, it's heaps weird. And then you just went back to the left.
Oh, you gotta go back,
mate. It's weird how we all default to one side, and then it's virtually impossible to make that change to the other. I guess it's kind of like right and left hand. you know, you could try the other one, but it just feels really weird.
Hmm. Something I've been aware of is that I think I'm getting little wrinkles on my right eye from squinting.
Welcome to Crow's Feetville.
Crow's Feetville. So yeah, I'm trying to not squint my right eye when I'm looking through the viewfinder now. For that reason.
Yeah, right. Oh, whereas I'm just embracing the crow's feet.
Give it a go. Do you think you keep your right eye open?
I generally do keep it open. I'm very aware of that as I'm shooting, because I think to myself sometimes, if people are watching me shoot, they're looking like my eyes open as I'm like one of the eyes open that's looking around. So it might look pretty weird. But also I find it helps to keep one eye open, because as I'm shooting the thing that I'm shooting, I actually look, I'll go between looking through the viewfinder. So my eye will always be on the viewfinder, but the open eye will flick around and see what's happening around the camera. Mm-hmm. Definitely. So, I mean, it would be pretty cool if you could operate your eyes independently, couldn't it?
You need a third eye so that the middle eye is in the camera, and then the left and right can look around at, like, the stupid videographer who's, like...
setting up the tripod in the middle of the aisle.
Or, like, the grandma who's decided to, like, stand right behind you as the couple are walking backwards. Oh, as you're walking backwards, you know?
Yeah, so annoying.
Interesting. Oh, well, there's a little tiny mini snap.
Okay.
Do you want to? Have you got any other eye news?
No.
Oh, damn. I've got so many. Have I talked about rearranging your desk? I think I did.
Yeah, you talked about that. Yeah.
Okay. Here's one for you.
Okay.
I'm almost embarrassed to admit this one.
Oh, here we go. I love these. Okay. Ones.
You know how you've been to a couple of venues, like I think probably a bajillion times.
So many.
Okay.
Oh, you're building up to something here.
I was at a venue the other day and I shot there lots.
Yep.
And I won't say which one it is.
Bullshed.
Ah, no.
The Mungify.
I won't say which one it was. However, I will give a clue that if anyone's shot there, they'll know exactly where it is. I arrived and there was a huge big coach bus taking all the guests up to the venue. And you've got to get buzzed in. There's a gate at the bottom.
What?
Yeah. So anyone that's shot there in Auckland will know where that is. And so the bus guy got out of the... He had to park the bus. I turned up... Well, I followed the bus all the way along the road for like 20 minutes. Got to the venue. The bus driver parks, gets out of the bus, goes and pushes the button. They're like, yep, open the gate. He has to walk around, get back in the bus and drive. I was like, this is my shot. I'm just going to sneak in before the bus, get up the hill, and I can get shots of all those people arriving.
Uh-huh.
It was all good. However, in doing that, I missed the opportunity to get photos of like the venue, the front sign, like there are huge big gates.
Yeah, like the setup shots or whatever.
And I was like, and I've never done this before. I've never done it before. I was like, well, I'll just use a photo from a past wedding.
Another wedding.
How does that make you feel?
Fantastic. That's time saving. That's just the most, that's capitalizing on, you know, that's an amazing business strategy. Did something go wrong?
No. It's, well, I haven't actually delivered. It was just like last weekend. So
it's such a good idea.
But have you done it?
Yeah. I guess the only thing to be careful of is the couple get their photos back and they're like, our wedding was in summer, but there are no leaves on these trees. Was there like a cyclone that came through that we didn't know about and blew all the leaves off the trees?
Totally. But that's the thing is, if you've shot there a lot, you could just basically go back and find something from the similar time of year.
So Michelle has, for the venues that we shoot at a lot, she has a folder and it's called like blah, blah venue B-roll.
Okay. Oh,
and
wow.
She just has a whole bunch of just random kind of shots of the venue, like this tree, the sign at the front gate.
Is that for video?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
So some drone shots of like, you know, if it's like a vineyard, there'll be like a drone shot of, you know, going across the vines. Like something that could be used regardless of the part of the year. So yeah, no, it's a really good idea and it totally saves you. And it means you don't have to always do that because it's so annoying to get out of the car at the front of the venue and take the photos. And so frustrating.
There you go. I thought you would have given me a bit of a grilling on that one.
Oh, great. The year of little faith. Not at all, man. That's a really good idea. It's like, you know, when you have like Studio Ninja, like you have templates, you have contract templates, you have email templates. So every time you send that email, you're not going to go and rewrite the whole email. You're going to use your template. But the template only exists because of your experience and the number of times you've written that same email and to the point where you know it and you've made it into a template. And you can you can save time by just using the template. But that doesn't mean you're worth any less. It just means you're a good business person because you're saving time doing things that really you don't have to do it over and over again, right? And I kind of feel with those kind of setup photos, it's sort of the same thing. Like obviously, if it's snowing on the wedding day, you don't give them a summer photo of the, you know, the sign or whatever. But like, yeah, it's a good thing to do. It saves time, man.
All right, nice.
Man, I'm anti grilling you. So good.
Okay. I got one more.
Okay.
Lately, in New Zealand, probably all around the world, for this reception when the speeches are on.
Yep.
People have slideshows and videos playing from like people overseas that couldn't make it.
Oh, yeah, because of COVID stuff. Yeah.
What are your principles about taking photos during those times?
Okay. Like, what's my approach?
Yeah.
I try and get one token shot of the screen, which always looks so bad.
Horrendous.
Absolutely shocking.
yeah.
And then I just try and get reactions of the couple and the guests.
Yeah. Nice.
Same?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I found myself going, taking like 20 photos of this horrible looking screen and I just went whoa, great.
Calm
you need
down,
to actually Greg. Think about this. Like, what am I going to put in the album here? And yeah, as you say, it's going to be like one awesome photo. Like, because what I was trying to do is get a photo of each, because they had like maybe 6 or 7 videos from people around the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried to just get one photo of each person, like each video that they played.
Oh yeah.
I'm guessing that if I was one of those people and I looked through the album, it'd be kind of cool to be like, hey, there's me on the screen.
Yeah, I get that.
And then I was just doing reaction shots. But yeah, I really tapered off big time after like the first couple of videos. I was like, whoa, I just need to settle down here.
I guess I try and think that the couple are going to have those videos. They're going to have those videos to watch. Probably they'll get to the photo. They'll be like, yeah, whatever. We've got the whole video. But the reactions...
Yeah,
I would say are the more important ones. But yeah, I try and do pretty much the same thing.
Yeah,
you got it, Greg.
I'm getting there.
You'll be all right.
Not bad. All right, pal.
This isn't a snap down. This is a small, just a scenario. So, I don't know if you do this because I don't think you suffer from wedding photography anxiety. Do you? Wedding photographer self doubts?
It's been a while.
Yeah, so I definitely do. Like, come down pretty hard on myself sometimes. But so this is what happens. Like, do you ever? Okay, so you do a shoot. So you're shooting, and you're just not feeling like you're really nailing it. You're like, these are fine. They're an okay standard, but I'm just not feeling, I don't know, amazing. And then you sort of get in the, let's say it's an engagement shoot. You get in car. So I'll tell you what happened. Full transparency. So I had an engagement shoot yesterday, and the weather was really hard to shoot in. So it was raining and I don't mind the rain per se because it can make some interesting weather and stuff, but it's just logistically a little harder to shoot in because you have to think about, is this an acceptable level of water to be getting on my gear? But not only that, you have a couple who maybe they're getting wet. So the ground's slippery, maybe makeup is running or whatever. So I just find you have to put a little bit more thought into the shooting, right? And so as a result, I was shooting and I was like coming down hard on myself and I was like, man, there's no crazy sunset. I'm feeling like I'm not doing a good job here and I really don't want to ever let my couple down. Anyway, got in the car and I was like, man, you know, you did all right, but you know, you could have done better if the weather was better and if there was a sunset and blah, blah, blah. I got home, downloaded the photos and they're awesome. And like, my point isn't to say I'm amazing. The point is like a lot of this self-doubt that I know a lot of wedding photographers suffer from, I think we can squash it by just having trust in our gear and having trust in our preset. And that, you know, if we just do what we know, we'll probably do a pretty good job. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I guess my point is simply trust in your gear and trust in your editing procedure, and your photos will probably turn out great, even if you in the moment are coming down hard on yourself that you haven't done the job that you really wish you'd done to the level that you wish.
Yeah, because some engagement shoots, especially because it's a lot of pressure on you on an engagement shoot.
Well, you have to create all the moments. There's no organically occurring moments at an engagement shoot, or there's very few.
See, that I'd like to talk about that, but yeah. So anyway, it's hard because if you get a sense that things aren't perhaps going as you would like, you can in your mind you can sort of put yourself in a little hole.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, you'd be like, and then you're thinking, well, it's only been 20 minutes and I'm already completely out of all of my ideas.
Done all my things.
Yeah, I've got 40 photos and they're expecting 100 or whatever.
And then you get it gets worse because you get into that rut, hey?
I like to try and put it over to my couples as much as possible, but, you know, if they're not giving me what I need back, so then I've got to... It's like you could never look like you're scrambling for ideas. You've always got to be one step ahead of them, so it seems like you've got an idea of what you're doing.
Yep, and then you try and rescue it later if possible in post.
Yeah.
But that feeling, I'm sure we've all had that feeling where you're midway through a shoot and you just, like you said, you're just like, oh man, I got nothing left. Like, what do I do now? What do you do in that scenario? Like, what do you do?
What do I do? Well, the first thing I do is I just like to keep moving.
Yeah, absolutely.
Physically keep moving. So if I'm like, hey, this, in my head, I'm like, this is awful. The couple are not connecting. The light's bad. I've put her in the wrong place. Mm-hmm. Like a mixture of I stuffed up, the day is horrible, and the couple aren't vibing. I'll be like, hey guys, this is great. All right, let's move on. Let's go to the next spot.
That is exactly what I do.
And then in my head, I'm like, okay. How am I going to fix this? Yeah. And any photos of them walking, holding hands are going to be usable.
Oh, mate. you know you've had a tough one for whatever reason, weather or whatever, when you've got a heap of walking shots. Luckily, they do work, don't they? They look really good.
They do work. Yeah. It's like, here's us walking up a hill. Here's us walking downhill. Here's us walking in the water.
Towards the camera, away from the camera. Then you can do, here's a compressed long lens one. Here's a hard one.
Here's a shot of just the hands.
Yeah, that's exactly what's on my screen right now. Just a
or shot. even the legs, like from side on, like legs moving.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe go 60... not 60 frames per second. Shutter speed's 1 over 60.
Oh, so you slow it down a bit.
Get a little bit of a blur going.
Mate, I've noticed on Instagram lately a bit of a trend towards a bit of slow shutter shots.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Black and white slow shutter at the beach.
What are your thoughts?
Oh, it hurts my feelings a little bit.
Mate, I get quite offended by it.
If it's not tack sharp, throw it away.
Some of them look like something has risen from some crypt. Some like ghoul. It's like some of them actually hurt my eyes.
That'll be what the people will be asking for, Tom. She'll be like, I love your work, Tom, but can you just try one of these ones?
We love these offensively blurry ones. Like, really? I mean, just push the boundaries of art.
Keep them moving, keep them moving. The one I did a couple of, was it like just before Christmas, I did one. And I didn't really feel like it was an amazing one, but then when I was kind of thinking, it might be time to wrap up, the sun did this weird thing where it all went orange, and I was like, right, we're going back to the beach, just where we'd come from. And I found that, I don't know, there was sort of a renewed sense of enthusiasm and, I don't know, alertness, and it sort of, I don't know, it ended really, really well.
Oh, that's good.
I don't know what my advice there is. Just like rinse and repeat.
Well, I agree that moving to a new spot, if you're having trouble for whatever it is, the weather for me was tough yesterday. My couple were great. But if you do have a couple that's harder, yeah, just move. Move to a new spot, fresh eyes. Also, you could do something so simple as turn around. Like, you know when you're shooting one way but you often forget to like literally turn around and put the couple the other side and try a totally different light. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're shooting backlit, turn around and shoot frontlit for a bit.
I got a question for you, Tom.
Go.
Could it be that our engagement shoots are too, I don't know, there's so much interaction between us and the couple. should it be that we're organizing engagement shoots where there's an activity that the couple are doing and we're just capturing that? Example, rather than it being like, hey, we're going to meet at the beach and I'm going to take photos of you. Could it be like, we're going to meet at the beach and you guys are going to have like a bottle of wine or something, or you're going to go for a swim, or I don't know what it's going to be, but there's some activity that they're going to do just to at least break up the hour into like, you've got half an hour of them doing something and then half an hour of photos.
Greg, I won't lie to you. I think that's a great idea. Because
maybe as part of the fee, we could say it includes
something.
Yeah.
I recall when I started doing weddings and I was doing engagement shoots for all my couples, like I was doing them free.
Oh yeah.
I wanted to get my experience up and I wanted to get my portfolio up. I would bring a bottle of champagne to every shoot.
Wow.
And two glasses. Like I would literally bring two champagne flutes. And after a while it got frustrating because I didn't really realize, you know, at the time, like a lot of people don't drink. A lot of people have to work the next day. A lot of people got to drive. Like, you know, not everyone wants to get smashed at their engagement shoot. But it was a thing to do. It was like, go sit there and open this. Now pour each other a glass. And, oh, the wine bubbled over in the glass. Ha, ah, it's so funny. And snap, snap, snap. And
yeah.
Gives it kind of a focal point. So it's a really good idea, man. The swimming thing's really cool. Like, you know, even in a nice gloomy day with like flat light, getting them running around at the beach and getting wet in the water, it makes for really interesting shots, doesn't it?
For sure. Yeah.
So maybe that's a really good idea. Sorry?
The thing I was going to ask you could lead into quite a big other topic, and I've changed my mind on that one.
Write it on your thing.
Oh, here we go. But I will say, if you're not at the beach, I think like the hamper option is probably pretty good.
It's a lovely one, yeah.
And maybe it could be a case of including it in your package, your engagement shoot package. Oh my goodness.
Imagine if you could do that. You could say this is the top or the mid-tier engagement shoot package that includes like a rug and a hamper. That's so good.
Yeah, I think we should do that.
I don't know.
Okay, should we edit this out?
Yeah, no one else. It also makes for more, it's almost like not a styled shoot, but it just makes for more interesting things to photograph. Like a nice
You're exactly
rug.
Right, Tom. Yep. See, I had this idea of a weird thing, like the couple could go go-karting or something, and I'm there to take photos of them go-karting, and then it could be them arriving, putting on their gear, then the actual go-kart stuff, and then like celebrating, like, look at his, and then the scoreboard, and then like after that, we could go for ice cream or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's an engagement shoot.
It's a really nice idea, and it's way easier to tell a narrative when there is a narrative occurring.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly. Rather than creating the narrative.
Well, engagement shoots, there's no narrative. You just stand around and take photos. And it's like, it's nice, but it's not really, there's no storytelling really, is there?
Well, maybe that's my resolution for 2021.
Man, that's pretty epic.
Maybe we should take this out of the podcast.
Let's steal it for ourselves. We'll make this decision during the edit.
Okay. Right.
No.
Oh, man. So, but we just need to remember the beach thing, because next week or the week after, I'm going to ask you about underwater stuff.
Ooh. All right. Have you written it down?
Put a pin in it. Yeah, it's written down.
All right.
All right. Are you ready for your scenario? Or was that the scenario?
No. You like these scenarios, right? When I ask you things?
Love it.
Okay, guys. This is the main topic here. So something that it's kind of boring, but it's also like, I think this is really important. So Greg.
Don't start off saying it's boring.
I love it, but it's not like a, when you do sparklers, do you light the bride and groom's hair on fire or something like that? Okay, Greg, listen, you get an inquiry.
Yes, I'm with you so far.
Okay. You go into Studio Ninja and you do your, do you use the lead? What's that noise?
Yes.
Oh, my Google Home is talking to me.
Oh.
Why? Okay, stop talking.
Studio Ninja.
That was weird. Yeah, you go to, do you use the inquiry form? Studio Ninja. Okay, so you go into your leads tab and you go and you send them off your I'm free on your date or whatever. Now, they, one thing they ask for is they want to know your prices, right?
Mm.
So, first question here. What method do you use to give potential clients, we'll call them leads, what method do you use to give leads your prices? So, like, do you send them, like, a PDF or what?
PDF.
Okay. So, you send them a PDF file.
Correct.
Now, some people I know send them a link to their website. Some people have that as private with like a password.
Yep.
Some don't. I do what you do. I actually send them a JPEG.
Yeah, right.
Whatever, same thing. Now, Greg, here's the real meat of the question. Can you tell me about this PDF? First question is, how long is it?
It's long, man. Should I tell you exactly?
Mate, this is the meat right here.
This is the nug.
Okay. How long is your PDF pricing document?
I'm opening it up now. It's taking forever because I've got a hard drive that likes to warm up every time I do anything on the Finder. It's this weird external hard drive that just loves to boot up. Okay, I'm going to my iCloud drive. I'm going to my thingy, Greg Campbell pricing. It is 11 A4 pages.
Wow. Okay, now, Greg. In this document, there's obviously going to be a lot of information there for something that's so long. So what, I mean, how have you structured that? Have you got like an intro page?
What have you got? What have you, just give me the brief on what you've got, just so I know what I'm up against here.
Okay. There's no correct way here. I'm actually reassessing my own way of doing it. So what I said.
Do you want me to quickly send you mine?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. This is good. Good radio.
Yeah.
Are we just? Okay, you're sending me on.
Do you think it'll work on?
Yeah, it should work on Messenger. Yeah. Okay, I'll send you mine too, but you're not allowed to open it until. Oh shit!
Until tomorrow.
No. Until I've received yours.
Okay, sure. Well, mine should be on its way.
Let's see if it comes through.
Does that work like that?
Man,
I can tell you mine is 6.4 megabytes.
Okay.
Which was something I worked really hard on to get it down to that size.
That's pretty good for something of that size, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I worked very, very hard on getting it that particular size. And yeah, I initially had a one-page PDF and I felt that it was just too quick. Oh, yeah. I'm very familiar with the way yours looks. You've just sent it through.
Okay, so yeah, tell them.
You'll see mine and you'll be like, oh, wow, yeah, it's the opposite.
Dude, so mine is impressive, man.
Mine is much more of a hello, how are you? This is who we are. This is what we do. Here are some reasons we're amazing. Here's a photography like pricing. Here's a video pricing.
Okay.
Here's a combo price. Here's an engagement shoot price. Yeah.
As for people who can't obviously see these, so Greg and my package lists are absolute opposites of the spectrum. So Greg's is an A4, which is 11 pages.
Mine's a novel.
It has a welcome page. It has a heap of nice, beautiful photos, including a photo of Greg and Kat. Has a bit about them, what they do, the way they shoot, their style, and then it has prices for what looks like. Oh, you've got specific hours now. Did you change it from your all-day thing?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Okay, so it's got coverage times, and then I'm going to say it's got combos, which have, you know, packages. So it's got like photo and video. So you can choose just coverage and you can choose photo and video packages, right? Whereas mine is literally it's a photo of some mountains with a big sky and sort of, I've written onto the sky, so I like...
Yeah, in the negative space.
Yeah, in the negative space, I've written, there are four packages, and that's it. There's no extra info. There's nothing about me. There's no, literally nothing. So I guess this is what I wanted to talk about, because while I don't think there's a right way of doing it, sometimes I do wonder if my package list is too bare. And the reason that... The reason I made mine so bare is here's my logic. when someone has been on my website for whatever, a couple of days, they've read all my stuff about me, they've pretty much in their head, they've decided, okay, I might not book this guy, but I definitely am considering it, and so I want to know a bit more. At that point, I feel they know a lot about me, and really what they want to know is, how much do you cost? Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to remove this concept of barriers to, what do you call it? Like barrier to entry. Like,
yeah, barrier I wanted to purchase.
Just, yeah, yeah. I just wanted to make it.
Paralysis by analysis, someone once said.
Mm. Paralysis, meaning don't oversaturate.
The client can't make a decision. They're paralyzed by all of the
information. That's hectic, man. So I wanted to make it so simple that here are my prices. That's all you're asking for right now. Here they are.
Yep.
That was my logic. So tell me about, and again, maybe I'm doing it wrong. So this is not a, I don't know, but tell me about your reasoning behind giving a lot of information.
My reasoning is, I kind of felt like, okay, the website appeals to a lot of people. You know, it's, you've got a whole different range of people coming into the website. But then when some specific person says, hey, I want more information, then I felt like it was something more tailored to them. Like they felt like I was giving them something from me to them.
Like personally.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a lot more, hi, thank you, that kind of stuff. And so once I started making it, and what I wanted to do, because previously I'd done what, to be fair, Tom, I had copied you. Like I remember like seven or whatever years ago when we were sitting down and you showed me your pricing. I was like, bingo.
Ding dong. Ding, 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 ding.
And so, but then I realized, obviously, horrible idea. And
hey, maybe it is. I don't know. You know?
No. Yours was fantastic. It's simple. Mm. It's great. What I decided to do was, all right, and this is something
the opposite.
No, but for me, I'm very easy at pigeonholing myself, and I'll be like, oh, I've only got this small amount of space to convey this message. So, how am I going to do it? How am I going to do it? And then one day, after a couple of years, I was like, okay, well, what if I just gave myself unlimited space to convey what I want to convey? And I started making something. I was like, okay, well, this will need to be 2 pages. And I was like, oh, well, this will need to be 3. And like, oh, okay, so I'll need about 6 pages for this. And I was like, oh, well, it looks like I'm going to need some testimonials. So I'm going to. So before I knew it, I had like, you know, 16 pages of whatever. And then I was like, okay, that's what I want to say. It took me 16 pages. Now I'm going to whittle it down, take out the fluff, whatever, you know, rearrange, da, da, da. And I got down to something like, yeah, but I'm at 11 pages at the moment.
I'm just, it's a very impressive document.
Cheers, man. And I tried to make it, because you could take away probably 7 or 8 pages of it, because those are the photos.
Right.
The actual text would be, yeah, only, I don't know, five or so pages. Okay. But you've got to have it. Like with photographers, you've got to have. That's how I. And something I've been careful to do is the photos that are in this aren't necessarily the photos people see on my website. Mm. I feel like these are kind of like the real smash hits.
Yeah, because if they do. The good thing about the way you've done it is, let's say they get packages from 3 photographers. And let's say if one of them was mine and all they got is a mountain with some numbers. And then they got yours next to it and with these sick photos of couples laughing. And like, these are some really great shots. Like even the shot of the boys under the chopper that the boys like, yeah, like dominate. it's very impressive. And I love that you've got the album, some pictures of the albums in there too.
I would argue the album is probably that page is the weakest page there, and I've actually redesigned that and I just haven't brought it in yet. See, what I've done, Tom, is I've now made an album PDF and it's about 6 pages and it just really picks apart everything about the albums.
This is something I should do, because I get asked probably once every 2 weeks, can we have some more info on albums? And then I have to, I have like a template email in Spark, which is my email client. Mm. That I send them, but it's just crap. Like I really should do something like what you've done. It's really nice.
Mm.
Okay.
It's kind of good that we're so different, because it's I don't know, there's a lot of room in the middle.
Yeah, I mean, I think you and I are equally as successful when it comes to business. Like, you know, when it comes to achieving our own business goals and getting the work that we want and shooting and whatever, all those things, I'd say you and I, you know, do pretty well and are pretty similar. But it's interesting that we've achieved that in this respect from packages, package lists, from completely the opposite sides of the spectrum. But I always like to be self-critical, not in a harsh way, but I always like to be like, is this a good way of doing it? Is there a better way of doing it? And I'm thinking maybe I do need to take a little leaf out of your book, and maybe that my bare bones package list could be a little less bare bones, could be, you know, bit more fleshed out.
Well, my advice would be don't limit yourself to the physical space of what you're trying to produce. Make it infinitely big. But then once you've got everything out there, then you start going, okay, let's form it into a shape that, you know, works for email. And actually, you were one of the people that first told me, because I think your original price list was quite tall and skinny.
It was.
And you were like, people are going to look at it on their phone.
Yep.
And so it's got to look tall and skinny on the phone. And I thought that was genius.
Yep.
However, I don't know.
My car isn't.
Well, no, yeah, mine's your typical landscape A4 at the moment, which looks amazing on a computer. But I think screens on phones these days, you just flip it over.
I think we were, when I said that to you, I definitely remember saying that. And I think, yeah, we were still in kind of a phone infancy, like a smartphone infancy. Yeah, this would have been like about 8 years ago, right?
Yeah, ages ago.
So we would have been on like iPhone 4 or something.
Hey, you know how we're just talking about albums? Can I just make a tiny little detour?
Sure.
I know you don't use Queensberry, but I do use Queensberry. They've just completely updated their photo sales area.
Oh, like the cart sort of situation.
The cart hole thing. And oh my God, it's gone from, like I think previously it was pretty horrible, if I'm honest. It was hard. It was hard to understand, even for me. It was a lot of lists and a lot of, you know, it just wasn't visual.
Right.
And you kind of didn't know what you were getting, what you were purchasing. And now it's just like world class. It's incredible. You can like visualize, like everything's laid out. You know exactly what you're purchasing. It shows you previews. It's so nice. Like I feel
impressive.
Yeah, really, really happy about it. It's been coming, like they've been saying, they've been making it for a while, and they've done such a good job.
That company is very proactive, aren't they? Like, yeah, they listen to advice too.
I think they are, yeah. I don't think they've always been, but they seem to be, at the moment, for sure. Well, since I joined up, I've only ever known them to be very, very forward-thinking and proactive.
Kudos to them, because, a business that evolves and pushes forward is going to be way more successful than one that doesn't. So,
Hey, how good is the, if you look at my prices, go to the fourth page, and it says, why choose us? And it's a whole bunch of reasons why we're amazing.
How good
is that photo in the background?
With the couple at the bottom.
The couple are like 10 pixels tall. I love that shot. It's a huge drone shot, and like there's mountains in the background, sky, and then this whole page of text that you can't see anything. Then at the very, very bottom,
just a little couple. So to sum up this whole topic, from my point of view, I think that while there's no right way to do it, I think that maybe my single page package list, while I think I had good intentions with having it just, here's the info you want. Bang, there it is. Mm-hmm. But I think maybe I could flesh it out a bit. And on your side, are you, because you sort of said you felt it was a little, there were some things you wanted to take out, like the album thing, is that right? Or are you just like,
I feel like you're fishing for me to say mine's a bit long and maybe
No. I guess I want to just tie up this topic. So if you are, I just don't want to leave it with no resolution, but if you're just like 100%, so if you find that this package list has been perfectly successful, I want to hear that from you. Like if you're like,
it has. Well,
excellent.
Man, like if you'd asked me in February this year, like February 2020, I would have said, oh yeah, this thing is the business. It's incredible. Like, you know, in February we did something like 14 bookings or something.
That's incredible.
You know, February for us was amazing, and then COVID hit, and I just don't know. Like, it's easy for me to say it's COVID's fault, but maybe it's my stupid PDF's fault.
COVID hit and your stupid PDF decided to be too long.
I think this is a really, really good document. I've got one for my pricing, one for Kat's pricing, one for if people just want video, one for, I'm building one now for people that just want albums. Mm-hmm. For me, I think having big photos and, but then having the text quite clear and easy to read. It was a lot of work, man. Like a lot of work.
100%.
And it could, looks,
I note that the text is not justified there.
It's so funny because after that conversation, yeah, I went through and I was like, oh, ooh. And I tried in a few places to justify.
Sometimes
it.
You can't, yeah.
Actually, it's a bit of a mess, this one, isn't it? There's centralized.
Oh, it doesn't look bad though. It looks, I think it looks like, I'm being a dick basically. Like it looks good.
But it is one of those things, and like when you build a really savage one like this, it's hard because, well, I say savage not in a good way, just in it's big. It's like a lot of information, and then you go through and you, because in my PDF builder I use Affinity Designer, which is it's like photo Illustrator or whatever, and you've got to do each page individually and then stitch them together later.
Okay,
so I've got this like folder with all these PDFs that I've saved.
Slides.
Yeah. And so, you know, what you'll do is you'll stitch it all together, you'll upload it to Studio Ninja, send it to a customer or whatever, you're all happy. 3 weeks later, you go, oh no, there's a spelling mistake or something.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to go back through, change that one page, take it out of Studio Ninja, re-upload. It's a long, drawn-out process for sure.
I'm gonna tweak mine. I'm gonna add a bit, and I'll come back to you. Let you know how.
Hey, send me your updates. I'd love to see like your progress.
Now, here's a sort of an additional question, Greg. In the interest of, because I think we always need to be critical of our own processes, because it's like we said with Queensbury, like, it's really good to be like, am I doing this the right way? Mm. So you know, we all have a certain number of inquiries. And out of those inquiries, we all have a certain number of bookings. Mm-hmm. And obviously, a lot of the people who inquire, they're not going to book us because maybe we're already booked, or there's a multitude of reasons why they might not book us. But I'd love to know if, for you or me, if any of these people get our package list. Like if someone got my package list and they were like, I'm not even going to entertain booking this guy because this is just... There's no information here. And then on the flip side,
it could be full
transparency. I'll tell you the honest truth. I'm so glad yours is working for you. But if I inquired with a photographer and they sent me that, I just wouldn't read it. And because for me, it would be too long.
Yeah, but you're not the bride, Tom.
100%, man. And that's so important to point out.
And that's very sexist of me. That's hugely sexist on one side. On the other side, it's sort of statistical.
Most of our inquiries come from brides.
Quite right. Yeah,
it's not, you're being. It's literally, and every photographer will say the same thing. The vast majority of inquiries come from brides.
So I did have to kind of think for someone like this is how I. Okay, maybe I'm giving away too much information here, but because this kind of stuff, I love to keep close to my chest.
Ooh, okay.
I imagine this. Okay. A bride. I'll be sexist and just say a bride.
It's not sexist.
She wants to book a photographer. Okay, so she's found her three favorites. And when I think that she's got her laptop or her iPad, right?
Possibly, she's on the couch with a glass of rosé.
You've got it.
Oh, I love it.
She's watching Netflix, or hubby's watching some war movie.
Hubby's watching the footy.
Yeah, watching the footy or Rabbit some eyes. War. Exactly. Or they're in bed. He's looking at V8s and Malou's, and she's
drinking
on
a Great
her,
Northern.
You've got it. Great. Yeah. So she's in like her little comfort space. It's almost like being curled up with a little book, but she hasn't got a book. She's got her three favorite wedding photographers and she's trying to choose. She's dedicating that time. And now I'm not picking Tom, but she's got my novel and then she's got your.
I'm not picking, but. Savage.
I'm not going to tell you how to do your job, but
but listen,
hang on.
Hey man, don't hold back because I just but told you that yours bores me, so don't hold back.
But do you see in that scenario how having some words and some touchy feely stuff, it just might be a nice moment for that person, and to get to know me a bit better and what we do. And another way of looking at it for me, Tom, is when I'm really interested in something, like if I really want to buy, like the first thing that comes to mind is, let's say, a new stereo. Mm-hmm. I will pour over all the information, like reviews that other people have, you know, left, and like the dimensions of it, the weight of it, how hot it gets, how easy it is to connect the cables on the back. I will pour over everything. And so just seeing the price, that's just only the doorway. In fact, the price doesn't even matter for a lot of that stuff.
It's like that is an amazing point. If you have an emotional connection with a photographer's work, the price doesn't even matter.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. Greg, that's a bit of a...
that's a big nug.
Tickle on the face right there. That's the nug of the century.
Yeah.
Jeez, so, I never thought of it like that, eh?
Yeah. There you go, bud.
Mate, I might just not send them prices at all. I might just send him a document that says, if you like me, the price doesn't matter.
Just send, you priceless.
Priceless. Give me blank check. I will write the number. Yeah. Give me your net bank details. Wow, man, that's really, really insightful. And I think I might have been doing this a little... I think I've been doing myself a little bit of a disservice with this, even though...
Honestly, well, if I know you, Tom, fine. What time is it now?
Mate, it's 9:32 a.m.
By midday, you'll have the most gorgeous PDF. You'll send it to me and I'll be like, piss off, Tom.
Damn it. Go back.
And then I'll rejig mine to look just like Actually, can I have your old one?
Wow. Next minute, Greg's package is one page long, mountains in the background.
Well, how about this? You know what I just thought of, Tom? What if your package, what if your price... Oh my God, I shouldn't even say this. This is too big a nuggy. This is a gift for anyone out there that's more motivated than me. What if your price list was a video?
Tell me more.
It's a video of like, it's my daughter knocking. Your imagination is your own limit. Like it could be you talking to the person saying, hey, I'm so happy you decided to like go with me. Here's me. Here's what it could be. Like the next step is like a personalized video to the person.
What? So like, hey, Jane. Thanks for sending me this inquiry.
Hey, Jane.
Hello, Jane.
Yeah.
Look, Greg. Listen, I'm gonna squash that idea. Quick, smart.
I'll
tell you why.
Yep.
Because they just like they'd have to pause it all the way through to actually find the relevant info.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they wouldn't. Maybe you send them a welcome video and your 11-page PDF.
Right,
so then they
right,
watch
right.
the video and they're like, "Oh my god, you know, he's so personable." And then they have the compendium.
Appendix.
No.
Compendium.
Man, the possibilities are quite endless, aren't they?
Well, I think I'm excited to see what you come up with.
Mm. Yeah, I'm
imagining the one page with a little like photo of Tom on the bottom right, doing thumbs up.
And book me now. It's good.
Yeah.
All right, I'll let you know how I go. I'll talk with you next episode about what I end up doing. But I've had
great
this
topic.
Format for. I thought, yeah, I mean, and I think, I mean, it's a really interesting thing we all need to think about is this first interface with someone, how they perceive our numbers and the effect it has on our conversions. So,
and I know you know all this, but once you've got your once you've said everything you want to say. And you put the images on there and it's the look and feel, then it's the email friendly side.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a whole, you know, what's the one we used to use? What was the email? That spam email website you used?
Oh, I don't remember what it was called.
Neither.
Because you want to make sure that your package list isn't being considered spam by email servers. Yeah,
it's one thing to make like the most amazing PDF, but it has to be email friendly. That's like number one.
Yeah, because that's so true.
Mm-hmm.
See, I forgot what it's called. Is it like mail checker or something? Spam checker?
Yeah, mail checker.
I think it might be mail checker. You can Google it.
I'll Google probably email. I'm sure I've got like a bookmark for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's like. That's like one thing that you got to do. And I don't know. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, man, that was good. So that was awesome. So I actually learned a lot from that. So I hope that you guys listening find that interesting. So I think to summarize, Greg's point is so true. Like not necessarily if they have an emotional connection, then money isn't out of the question. But that is kind of the point, is that you've got to put yourself in the position of your target market, or who your normal inquiries come from. And that is, without any sexism intended, that is females between the age of probably 22 and 38 or something like that.
Yeah.
And what like, how are they going to perceive your emails, and how are they going to perceive your packages? And so I'm going to, with that approach, redo my package list and maybe soften it up a bit. Because right now it's pretty hard lines and basic.
Yeah,
Like your package list is like a French chateau, and mine is like a North Korean war labor camp.
Yeah. Pretty much. It's pretty close. I'm trying to think, if yours was a car, it might be like a Hummer or something.
Or like just functional. No, I think it would be
Or would it be like a 1986 Mitsubishi Mirage?
What are those old Soviet? Oh, a Lada.
A Lada Niva. Mickey,
that thing. Mine's a Lada.
Yours is a Lada Niva. Mine's like a Rolls Royce.
Yeah, yours is like a new Rolls or something.
Maybe
like
a brand new Tesla Model X.
But like, still functional. It does the job.
Even the you've got squares around your prices. It's just so hard. Like,
I just realized my package list is like the Soviet era package list. I should put a big hammer and sickle in the corner.
Yeah,
and
that would just make it. Or like a Soviet flag on the mountain down there.
On the mountain. USSR.
Maybe you should upload your current one. I'm way too protective of mine, like the IP.
The IP. Oh, yours has way too much beautiful copy in there to share publicly. Mine has none.
Yours has more numbers than letters.
It really does, man. It's shocking.
But no, but I mean, it's worked. The thing is, you've gotten this far with that.
I've literally had this level of minimalist package list for 8 or 9 years. So
see, but here's the other thing is, one might argue I'm pandering to my audience, whereas that's you, Tom.
That's true.
The bride sees it and she's like, hey, this guy's, there's no fluff, no mucking around.
That's true.
Boom. So
that's true.
Always two sides.
All right, mate. That was a cracker.
Nice work. Well done.
So there's a natural progression here of what we should make snappin', isn't there?
Mm-hmm. I'm looking around my desk just in case there's anything I might have missed. But I'm guessing people should just go over their price guides and I think it's okay to send your price guide to like your mum or to just somebody that's not in your zone in your environment and say, hey, just what do you think of this? Like,
give some feedback. Yeah, because it's
easy to design something and you go, oh, it's amazing, and then someone just walks on and goes, yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes people do have their parents either pay or pay a part of, and they want to know what they're paying. And so it is always good to have that feedback from other people. Yeah, for sure.
In this case, Tom, you should send yours to me since I want to see it.
Okay. Hey, Greg.
And I'll rate it by country.
Because
you're currently North Korea, and I'll be like, yeah, okay, you're like Cuba 1965.
Yeah. So funny.
You're coming up.
My aim is to get Monaco. Somewhere. Maybe no, that's a bit
Monaco? Switzerland. Yeah, Switzerland, yeah. Maybe. Switzerland neutral.
It would just be very neutral. That's true. Yours is like Liechtenstein or some hectic, like crazy like specific, and anyway.
Very good.
Cool, Greg, we're done.
Good job. Talk to you soon. Next episode. The winner
is going to be announced. Very exciting.
Yeah,
well done. So get your entries in by the 7th of January.
Good job, Tom. Have a lovely New Year's, buddy. Maybe I'll give you a call or something.
That'd be great.
Okay, see you.